Warrior football. True Warrior football. True Warrior football.
You are listening to True Warrior Football Podcast with your host, Corey Kid Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, folks. And you know what? I'm not going to waste too much of you guys' time. Have a great interview for you guys this week. I'm breaking it up two shows this week. But before I can do that, of course, this past week we took care of business against LC, which, like I told you guys the previous week, that was what we were supposed to do. We were supposed to come in there. We were supposed to take care of business. They were the inferior team. We were the superior team. We dominated. We did what we were supposed to do. My man Prince Powell, who has just been incredible lately against these last two, three opponents that he's faced, has just torn it up. He had, five total touchdowns, three passing, two rushing, passed for over 192 yards. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Other guys in the game took care of business. What was his final score? 48-13. I don't really need to talk about that much more. Most points we've scored, once again, going back to 2018, ever since, like every week, I'm going to say, most points we score since. And it's going to get deeper and deeper. What we are doing here, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you're starting to see a new era. And that new era is coming. And when people really realize, oh, man, that kid was on to something. I tried to warn you guys. But you know what? I say all that to say this. None of that really matters. Because this week right here is where it really, really matters. We could put up 40-plus points and win by 30, 40 points against the LCs and North Centrals and come back from being down against Chittard and run away with the game there. But it doesn't matter if you don't do it in the games that matter most. It doesn't matter if it doesn't happen in the games that matter most. And this is the game that matters so much. If you listen to me in this show for any amount of time, you guys know where I stand on our program, and my love for this program was really solidified in 2002 when we beat this team for the first time and we rushed the field. Imagine that. Warren Central fans rushing the field so jubilant after a victory. That's what we did. We aren't where we are going to be just yet, or where we need to be just yet. But we cannot get there if we do not. We cannot get there if we do not take this next step. And that next step is beating those guys on the west side. Period, point blank. Period, point blank. I've said this time and time again. I cannot stress this enough. Carmel is one of our rivals. I do not care about I want to beat them. Cedar Grove, defending state champion. I want to beat them just as much. Ben Davis, I want to beat them more than any of them. I've said that time and time again. Now, they have some good guys over there. They got some cats. We got some cats over here, too. Too long. 2 years. Almost 3 years, really. since we beat them. Over 1,000 days since we've been victorious against the evil empire, the giants, the guys that wear purple. Too long. Now, some people may be okay with that, but I'm not one of them. I am not one of them. And if you've been a part of this program longer than 5 minutes, if you put sweat and blood and love into this program, if you worn that helmet, if you suited up, you are not proud of that either. You are not happy with that. This comes to an end this week. It must come to an end this week. Now, like I said, I have a phenomenal guest, and he and I are going to talk a lot about a lot of things. Life with me, life with him a little bit as well, his past, our past, the future, the program in general. So sit back and enjoy. Trust me, you'll want to listen to this very carefully. All right, ladies and gentlemen, of course, it is Ben Davis week, but just to come back and really just talk football with you all, I have with me former coach, former athletic director of our football, former football program, of our athletic program all around. He helped bring the first basketball state championships to the program, to the school, and boys and girls basketball. Girls state championships in track brought to the program as well. But most importantly, the state championships that he helped bring in football, three of them in 2009, 2013, and 2018. Welcome to the program once again, AD, former AD, Marcus Clayton. Coach Clayton, what's going on, man?
What's going on, kid? What's happening, man? What's going on there down there in the Ville?
Man, look, it's lovely down here. There's so many different places to eat food down here. I got to remember not to put on too many LBs while I'm away, man, but it's good. It's good. Traffic's crazy, though. Traffic is real crazy, though. That's for sure. Traffic is real crazy.
You know, I don't know if your listeners know this kid, but, you know, and I don't know if it's Mr. Smith. I don't know if it's Corey Smith. I don't know. What name you could be just Nashville Corey now, for all I know. But I'm not sure if your listeners know the Warrior Nation. I know your close friends do, but we met back in, I want to say, 2003, 2004, your sophomore year of school, because I had you in class. Because a lot of people don't know this kid, but, you know, I used to teach. I used to be a social studies teacher, and I had you in class. And I remember, that was a legendary class, just the number of personalities you had in there. But, kid, I know you remember this, that I was right next door to Coach Tutsi. And at the time, you were exclusively a basketball manager. And we would, you know, we would give it to you every day. Yeah, we would give it to you every day. You know, no disrespect to, you know, the coaches at the time. But we said, hey, man, we want you to come be a part of a championship program. You know, you need to get with football. And I remember at first you're kind of like, nah, man, I'm a basketball guy. And, you know, lo and behold, all of a sudden you're a Warren legend. So it all started in that social studies wing between Tutsi and I trying to get you out there, man. And you haven't looked back since.
C201 or C202, I forget the room number.
There you go.
But, you know, good times, man. It's I always say it's real funny how things really happen and begin. Like, I remember I came out going into my freshman year, because I played middle school football at Stony Brook. And, you know, freshman call outs and stuff like that. It's like, I don't know if I want to give it a try or not. You know, I'm still a small, skinny dude. So I come out for one afternoon of weights. This is back before the weight room had started. I want to say my man Coach Radford. You remember Coach Radford?
Coach Blood. We used to call him Coach Blood.
Yeah. He was up there running those guys and running the program up there. And this is before the weight room. So we're up there
above the gym and stuff and the weights and stuff. I think I lasted half a session, man. I was like, nah, I can't do that.
Yeah, it got real serious real quick, didn't it?
It did, but then it's funny, you talk about that, and then fast forward 4 years later, okay, I'm with the program, and I'm doing all the same stuff everybody else is doing at Camp Atterbury.
That's right.
Running through it, and it's just my transformation from where I was to the end of things at high school is just, it's incredible, man. Football, you guys, Coach Tussie, Coach Ely, Coach Wright, Coach Burton, shout out to my man Coach E as well, Coach Henderson.
Absolutely,
you guys were absolutely phenomenal. Coach Jurassic, Coach King, who else am I missing?
You know what? Did you say Coach Willen? Yes, Coach Enright, Coach Dixon. I mean, you can Coach go down the line. Yeah. And do you recall? Not to change the subject, but the first day you came to my classroom, and I was going through my roster. And I said, Corey Smith. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Marcus Thomas. He said, no, Mr. Clayton, that Coach Clayton, that's Kid. And what did I say to you, Kid?
He said, Kid? Now this.
I said,
I'm a grown man. I ain't called
I'm a grown man. I'm a grown man. I am not calling you Kid. Well, you know what? I reneged on that. Because I call you Kid, my kids call you Kid. I mean, that's what they know you as. But, you know, most importantly, man, I can't say how proud I am of you and really all those guys that, you know, I coach, had a chance to just play a small part in their lives. I'm so proud that you got this opportunity. And Jason Whitlock, you know, one of our distinguished alumni, looking out for you, because that's and you know, I know we're going to talk about this, but that's what being a warrior is all about. It's a lifetime commitment. We look out for each other. We love each other, and that's, like I said, that's for life. Warriors for life, like we always say.
Yes, for sure. It's been a very different experience. You know, growing up in Indianapolis most of my life, went to school in Kentucky for a few years, came back, and you know, Indianapolis is a great city, and moving and transferring myself down here in a whole different environment, having learned different streets again, what side of the city I'm on, you know, best times of maneuvering the city to get away from traffic. It's been a learning experience. It's been one I've come to enjoy. And I appreciate the times when I am home. It's real special. The one thing I hate, though, is missing those Friday nights right now, man. I'm missing those Friday nights. Thankfully, we had the first game against Center Grove that was on TV, but the rest of them just had to have my ear to the radio streams and stuff like that. But thankfully, this week, I'm coming home.
I knew you couldn't miss. I knew you couldn't miss BD week. I knew you couldn't miss it.
You know, and I missed for about 3 years there, working nights, Friday nights. I missed a lot of Warren home games, and I missed far too many Ben Davis games, and I really hate that. And I think I said to myself, after 2017, I wouldn't miss any more Ben Davis Warren games. And after the first game that we had lost, and I was at the playoff game, and I've been in every one since. So I'm going to try to stay true to that to as best as I possibly can. You know, if I got to fly across the country a day early, that's what I got to do, man. You know, yeah, I got to be there.
And I remember when you came back in the mix, and, you know, I never had the chance to tell you this, but that was, it was a special time, because I think one of the things that you saw was, you know, we just had to, and granted, you know, we won a lot of games there in between, and we won a state championship, as you already mentioned, in 2013. That was Coach West's first year. And I think that you just, you know, from the outside looking in, you wanted us to get back to being Warren Central football and embracing that tradition. You're a part of that tradition. If a book is ever written about you know, what we were able to accomplish winning those four in a row, you know, you're going to be part of that story. And what more can you ask for? But that was a special time in 2017, 16, really 16, 17, 18. Yeah. Some of the best memories of my life. And you were there to document that. As you mentioned, I know, you know, because again, you started as a basketball manager. And I remember when I first moved to Indianapolis in 2002, in early August of 2002, right before school started, to start as a social studies teacher and a freshman football coach at Warren Central High School. I remember going to the barbershops because, believe it or not, I did have hair back then. You remember that. And, you know, we always had a tremendous amount of pride when it came to football, but our community wanted to win in basketball more than anything else. And, you know, back in 2018, you were there, you were part of that, you were able to document that. And, you know, it was, you know, that's one of the best memories I have during my time as athletic director and really just being in Warren Township.
That was, that's, you know, only a few times that I can think of where a program is really good, but usually it's, if a program's gonna be really good in a sport like basketball, it's only gonna be on this, the men's side or maybe the women's side. Very rarely do you have it in both. And I can think of two other times where it's happened to where a women's team and a men's team have both won in college basketball. That was like UConn in 99. Both teams basically beat, I'm a Duke Blue Devil fan, they beat Duke men's and women's teams in the national championship that year. And then I think this past year, Baylor's men and women's team both won the national championship in basketball. So, you know, it's a really special event to where you have a group of guys and girls, you know, that's going a real run like that. And I tell you, I've told Coach Mitchell this, and I told my why can't I think of his name right now?
Coach Byers.
And all those guys with the basketball team at the time, you know, being my roots in Warren Athletics started in basketball, but, you know, I had so much success in football, but I still had love for that program, what they had done. But I said, look, anytime I come to one of y'all games, man, y'all lose. I ain't coming. All right. Point blank, I ain't coming. And they was undefeated all through the regular season. I was like, man, I want to go to a game so bad. But like, nope, I'm going to stay true to myself. I'm going to stay true. And they ended up winning that game. I didn't, look, I was so, like, I'm superstitious, folks, if you haven't known. Like, when it comes to me in sports, sometimes I will do the same as that. If I did something one time, I'm going to do it again until it proves not to work. So I was not following the basketball game against New Albany at all. At all. And I think my father was texting me or something like that because he was watching it online or on TV. And I'm at home, it's Saturday. First of all, you couldn't get tickets for this thing at all. Like, that game was just crazy, trying to get tickets to it.
2 hours, we sold out. We sold our allotment of, I believe we had 1,900 tickets, and we sold that in 2 hours.
Like, it was probably about 5,000 people at that game, wasn't it?
No, it was over 9,000.
Oh, my God. See?
Yeah. One of the biggest high school gyms in the country down there in Seymour.
I didn't know anything. I didn't know how it was going to end. I was just hoping, please, please, let's win this. It's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then David Bell hits the shot, and my phone starts blowing up. The videos everywhere, it's going viral. It's just like one of the greatest moments in basketball history. And this, the week after that, you know, I'm in Dallas celebrating my anniversary with my wife. And
that's right. You know, that's right.
I'm sitting there at the Dallas Mavericks game. It's what, the last season, the season before Dirk's last year. So we don't have Luka yet. And the Mavs are god awful. So, but once again, people texted me, and then all of a sudden it's like, we win. And that's the amount of emotion pours over me because, like, I was a part of those good Warren teams from, you know, we went up against a tough Arlington team that was number one in the state and lost to them in sectional. We lost to of course, the Mike Conley and Greg Oden LN team my senior year. We could never get past Eric Gordon and North Central. Had a hard time with Pike and Jeff T. So, like, we just never really were able to get over that hump. And so, like, I saw what my former teammates, Marcus Thomas, one of them right there, you know, great athletes, great basketball players, never been able to get over that hump. And then years later after that, you got guys like Devin Davis. You have Mac. You have a lot of these other good, great guys come through the program, you know, not being able to experience that and just seeing those guys come through and win it. Like, man, that is like the most, that's a feeling right there. It's worth its weight in gold. Like, we could possibly come by and win four or five more state championships, but that first one is always going to be the baby. That's always going to be the top tier.
And I say this, no doubt.
I say this all the time, you know, if the Pacers were to draft, or even my Mavericks, okay, if Luka were to go and win two or three championships with the Mavs in his career, never plays anywhere else, he's going to be great, but nothing ever is going to top that 2011 NBA Finals run versus the Heat and LeBron and them. That's like Dirk at his top. It's like there's greatness and then everything else. And like that and right kid, there, it's like that's the top for me.
You bring up a great point, and here's the thing. If you just tell the story of, you know, that those two championships in 2018, our girls winning a state championship, which was actually the first basketball state championship in the we're now at year 97 year history of Warren Central High School. And that was on February 24th of 2018. Exactly 1 month later, on March 24th, our boys bring it home, and we became the second high school and the only 4A school to win both the boys and girls in the same year. But if you just tell the story of the state championships, which we could spend a whole hour on, that's not quite the essence of what truly happened that year, that calendar year. If you recall, in May of 2017, we had a tragedy that not only struck our school, but struck our community, really struck this whole city of Indianapolis. And that was the passing of Angel, and the untimely passing of Angel and Dejon Anderson. And that rocked our community like no other. Then we go into the fall, and then we lose Jonathan. He passed away to cancer. Yeah, Jonathan Smith. He passed away to cancer. And just in that, we lost in just a 10-month span, we lost 11 people at the high school, whether it was staff or students. And then, as I said, you know, those student athletes that were part of the athletic department. So, you know, as we went into that 2017-2018 year, and we finished strong, we lost a tough game, rematch game at Ben Davis, as you already referenced. But then when we got into that basketball season, and, you know, we were just trying to create some excitement. But next thing you know, our girls, which entered the tournament, I want to say with 7 losses. They had 7 losses going into the tournament.
I think I saw something that said they had like a 0.07% chance of winning this.
That is correct. That is correct. And we had the toughest draw imaginable. We had the second pick to win the sectional, Lawrence North, who was a top. They were ranked 5th in the state. That's who. And the sectional was at LN, by the way. We opened up with LN. We upset them in a very close game. Then we play Heritage Christian, which had moved up from 3A. Due to the success factor. So they had won multiple state championships. So now, and they have a great record. We play them on Friday night, and we take care of them. And then we play our nemesis at the time was North Central, which, you know, we just hadn't beat North Central when they were at full strength. And
North Central not only is a program that's had multiple state championships and
Indiana All-Stars. Yeah. And Indiana All-Stars. And they were, you know, they were undefeated the year before, and they were the best team that whole year. And that group led by Shea Beeler and Sidney Dodd and Scotty, Murray Bell. You had Trinity McClendon. You had Kaja Talley, who was a sophomore on that team. But that group of kids, they just developed a perseverance and a determination that I never see. We go to the regional. We upset number one Pike in the regional championship game. They missed the layup late, and we got the rebound. And then we go to semi-state down at Jasper, and we knocked off another top 10 team in Bedford North Lawrence, who had won multiple state championships as well, and which set up that championship game again on February 24th versus Zionsville. And our girls, you know, that game went back and forth, but I'm just telling you with the you know, I tell people this story all the time. What I remember is we were up by 3 points going into that final minute, right? And I remember turning around. It was during a TV timeout, and I looked at the crowd. I was sitting on the floor. I looked at the crowd, and I saw all that black and gold. And just at that moment, kid, it all hit me. I went back. I was able to go back and think, okay, the last time we were together like this, we were crying because we were at Dijon and Angel's funeral. We were at Jonathan's funeral. We were at some of our colleagues that have passed away, funerals, and to see the emotion, to see the smiles, and to see the tears that were being shed at that moment. And as we went to win that first state championship, that for me, and again, I've been a part of 8 state championship football teams. This is True Warrior Football, right? I've been a part of 8 state championship football teams. I've been an athletic director of at least 8 or, I don't know, I lose count, however many state championships. But that for me as a educator, as a coach, as an athletic administrator, that moment on February 24th was the greatest moment that I experienced as a Warren Central Warrior, believe it or not, because not only did they turn tragedy into triumph, but they brought the community together, and that the force that we had coming together was unbelievable. And then again, a month later, to win that boys state championship, the first and only team to go 32-0, man, that was a special time.
It was definitely a very special time, and even more in significant, Coach Mitchell being African-American head coach, winning a girls state championship, winning the first girls state championship in our program's history, and also at the same time winning African-American Black History Month. And him becoming the first, the first Black male head coach to win a girls' state championship in Indiana history, which I thought was weird. Like, I'm like, how is that possible? Like, maybe there never been another girls' basketball coach or that was male, but I was like, wow, that alone was this real interesting how that was, but. You know, these things really happen for a reason. And I'm glad it happened for us, man. I'm so glad it happened for us first.
It did. And like I said, that was, then we go ahead and we win the state football championship, go undefeated later on. It was just a special year considering, like I said, 2017 had been so hard on us, on our community. You were there. It really stretched us. Emotionally, in ways that we had never, ever experienced. But, you know, again, that just shows the resolve of being an Eastsider. You know, I lived in Warren Township for 17 years. You know, this is the only place I've ever, worked as an adult. And there's just something about Eastsiders being a warrior that, you just got to be there and experience it to understand it. It's a brotherhood. It's a sisterhood. It's love. Sure. And that's why we say Dove C family, because that really means something.
Now, let me ask you this, Clayton, before we really get into the meat of things. With you being athletic director for so long, what were some of the real things that were toughest for you that you did not expect with the job and everything like that entails with it? Because a lot of times people think athletic director is like, only thing you do is really schedule, find some games here and there, maybe hire a coach every now and then. But, with you being the leader of our athletics program for well over a decade, you've experienced just about a little bit of everything. You experienced a little bit of everything.
Absolutely.
Doug Seagrave ain't got nothing on you.
Well, and you know, what I would tell you is that first off, in order to have success in the athletic department, you got to have a good principal that's extremely supportive. And I had that for 12 years and Rich Shepler. I remember when Rich asked me to go down to the athletic office, I was assistant principal at the time. And I was very hesitant to do it because, you know, at that time, I felt like I was my next step after getting out of coaching was to be a building principal and, you know, central office administrator and one day a superintendent. And I didn't see how being an athletic director would keep me on that path. But once I got into it and I, you know, I had a vision of what this could look like, drawn upon my coaching experience and just my experience living in that community, I would say those biggest challenges early on is creating an environment that attracts the best coaches, that encourages our parents that live in our community to keep their kids in Warren and bring them to the high school. But to create that, again, that environment that kids want to be a part of, that coaches want to be a part of. And early on, we hadn't quite found that magic yet because we were in the process of trying to build those systems. We were trying to build that infrastructure and that support to attract coaches. And you know, again, we can talk about the coaches all day, but, you know, one of the first two hires I made was I went to Tracy Bush, and we all know Tracy Bush. And I said, hey, Tracy, I need you to oversee our academic tutoring program for athletes. And I can't pay you a lot, but whatever I can throw at you, I'm going to throw at you. And we got to put together a team to surround these kids and create a academic support system that's rivaled nowhere in the country as it relates to high school. And then I also brought in Susan Downey, which I worked with Susan for 12 years. And I couldn't accomplish some of the things I did personally or what we did collectively as a department without Susan being my swingman with that. But that was the challenge. And once we built that infrastructure, now all of a sudden you bring in a LaGretta Smith, right? And then you bring in a John Sincroft. And then you bring in a Jason West after he had just won a state championship with LC in 2012. We bring Jason West in. A few years later, we bring in Jim Tante, who at the time was the all-time winningest, one of the all-time winningest high school wrestling coaches. Like, he left Perry Meridian where he had built a giant, wow. Right? Yes. And we get him there. And then all of a sudden, you know, with basketball, as I already pointed out, the appetite was always there for us to win and do things big. But, you know, I looked internally. I got with Stacy Mitchell, and it took me a couple of years, but I talked him into taking that girl's job because I knew he would be phenomenal. And obviously, you know, the state championship is a measure of that. And then finding someone that really in Indianapolis, if you were part of the AAU circuit, you probably knew who he was. But as far as high school wise, you really didn't know who Chris Byers was. He's kind of an unknown. But I remember sitting down with him, because my office used to always be the Marriott East. And I'm not sure if they're a sponsor of this podcast, but you need to tell them, because that's where I always met my coaches at Marriott East. And I remember meeting with Coach Byers on a Saturday. And what attracted me to Chris was, you know, he had experience building a youth league program. He was connected with AAU, and he had a plan for our young kids. So the thought was, okay, bring Chris Byers, and in about 4 years, once these middle school kids cycle through, we'll be ready to compete for championships. I was mistaken, because we went, I want to say 11 and 12 that first year, or 10 and 11, one of them. But then that second year, we win our first outright MIC championship, and we go 21-3. We set a school record. And then his third year, we go 32-0, and we're state champions. So that was the biggest challenge, kid, was creating that environment, that family atmosphere, getting Adidas on board back in 2012, thanks to one of our all-time supportive alumni, Shannon Furbrush, who was a member of the first Warren Central State Championship team in 1984. He helped bring us in with the Adidas. So we were the only high school at the time with a department-wide athletic, I'm sorry, department-wide shoe deal, apparel deal. So again, that was the biggest challenge. But once we got that thing built, then we were ready for action.
See, that's incredible. It really is, because I forget that he did win that state championship in 3 years. And like you said, with Coach Mitchell had been a member of Greg's staff for years and years. And, you know, I think a lot of times, because I don't want to say bad choices, but I think a lot of times, you know, you make a hire, that hire doesn't always pan out. And that's life. That's anything. So sometimes you had a lot more turnover, and then that turnover, you know, is a learning lesson for a person like you, who's an athletic director. It's like, okay, you know, I went for this, that didn't work, but here's something I learned. And, oh, here's something I learned again from this next one. Well, here, you fit all these, come on, what are we waiting on? Let's get in here. Let's make it work. And, you know, for him, because Coach Mitchell, like you said, he had that great run, but then the next year after that, they won the MIC. I think that was the first time the girls had won the MIC in almost a decade or something. Like, no.
Second time.
Okay. But, you know, it was great times all the way around. That 2016 to 2018 spring, that was a tough time in our community. And the East Side has a lot of ups and downs right now. You know, we have, and Coach Isang Jacob, I had him on a few weeks back, and he said, we don't have bad kids. We have had kids that make bad decisions, bad mistakes. And a lot of that is, you know, a lot of that is mistakes that last for the short term or the long term, unfortunately. You just got to figure out how you're going to weather in between those and help guide the ones that don't make the mistakes. So,
yeah, Ken, I would say the other thing too, the other thing that stands out during my time for me was building relationships with our alumni. And as social media started ushering in more into high school athletics, I remember working with our technology department and say, hey, I want to start a Facebook page. You know, hey, I want to, you know, I got to get Twitter going for the kids at the time, because that was popular. Then we got on Instagram. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I was running like 4 social media accounts during my time as athletic director. Now, I made a hire my last year, a pretty talented kid named Logan Hunt, who's still there to take that over. But I was running 4 social media pages. But the relationships that I've been able to build with alumni was phenomenal. I mean, to this day, I'm friends with Warren Central alumni to go back to the 50s and 60s, and bringing them back and making them a part of that championship legacy and that success, and connecting with a Jason Whitlock, a Shannon Furbrush. I wouldn't have had those opportunities if I wasn't the athletic director at Warren Central. And that's important moving forward, because it's important to remember that Warren was a very different school back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s than what it looks like in the 90s, in the 2000s, and even now today. So being able to connect those generations together and say, hey, yeah, you may be a little bit different here, they may be a little bit different there, but what we'll always have in common, we're Warren Central Warriors. So that's enough to rally us. It transcends race, it transcends culture, it transcends everything. When you have that warrior on your chest, you know, and you remember Coach Willen always harped on this, when you have that warrior on your chest or on your back, then that means we are family.
It definitely means more to us than it does to others. And, you know, other programs, you know, they have their alumni base and stuff like that, but it just, what we have, and I feel like it's just special and one of a kind, truly, truly one of a kind, man. And, you know, it's led me to where it's led me to places I could never have even imagined, but here I am. And, you know, it's
look where you're at today.
Grace of God right now. Like, mm-hmm. This is something I've always really wanted to get into, and just having the opportunity to be in the spot and the place where I am right now. And I may not have a career that goes much longer than this, but I love the fact to say that I accomplished one of my dreams, and thankfully to somebody that is alumni, warrior legend, like I call guys all the time. It's like, you know, we help each other out, and that's truly what it is all about, man. You give back to others, and hopefully I can give back to somebody and give them a great opportunity in life later on.
That's right, man. You ready to talk some football?
I'm always like, oh, you're ready for some football? First of all, did you watch that game last night, man?
I did watch the game. Man, I watched football all weekend. Isn't it great to have not just football back, but to have fans as part of that experience? That was obviously the missing component. But I'll be honest with you, I'll take football a cappella like it was last year. No beat, nothing, no background music, no fans. I'll take football anytime.
You know, I honestly watched the game. And I'm like, first of all, I didn't watch the main broadcast. I had to watch Peyton and Eli. That's all I watched. That was gold. I don't know who the main broadcast had. They were completely outshadowed by what Peyton and Eli did. The guests they had on, this, them having Ray Lewis on for 20 minutes or whatever was just phenomenal. Just hearing those stories of guys, like, these are, you know, say what you want about Eli. I know a lot of people don't think he's a Hall of Famer. He's going to get in for sure. He's going to get in first ballot too. So, like, but just listen to a guy as smart as Peyton Manning is, break down plays, and having a guy that's probably one of the smartest defensive players of all time, and Ray Lewis, just hearing those guys go, their mindset, okay, what do you think is going to happen here? Then having it actually break down, or if it go another way, and see, I would have did this. If you did that, boom, that guy would have been right there in that play, and it would have completely blown up that, and they don't have it. It's like that was perfect. And I hope ESPN somehow, some way, delivers more of that great content to us each week. I want to see something like that in college, too. That's what I really want to see.
Well, I mean, you're talking about two people that have PhDs in football, and Peyton Manning, who's, you know, arguably a top three quarterback of all time, and Ray Lewis, who's considered the best linebacker, one of the best overall defensive players of all time. So, yeah, to hear those two converse, that's a treat.
It's really special. And then, you know, you sit there and really the game goes overtime. And I was talking with Jason about it this morning. Like, the Ravens kicked the field goal to go up 27-24. He said, man, I went to sleep. How you go to sleep? Come on, man. It's still 30 seconds in the game. And it's like, I know. I've watched enough football, college, pro, high school even, to, like, know the game ain't over until it's over. All right? And they, once again, Ravens let the Raiders get back into the game. They kicked the 55-yarder to send it to overtime. And then the Raiders get that pass, and it's like, oh my God, did they just win this on this pass? But he's down at the one, and they don't even try to get to my man Josh Jacobs. What are you doing?
Like, what, you know, are you what remind doing? Me of, kid? You know,
it reminded me of the Seahawks.
No, that's actually, it reminded me of, and this is, I mean, again, this is just a coincidence, right? This is a coincidence, but you know, the Ravens, their colors are purple, right? And the Raiders are obviously black, right? Reminds me of that 2004, I have to say, regional game at Warren Central between Warren Central and Ben Davis, when we were down 27-14 going into the fourth quarter. And if I remember the story correctly, I remember Coach Wright telling me at halftime, because we were down, I'm going to say 27-14 at halftime. He told me
we were down. We may not have been down that much, because I think Ben Davis, on their opening kickoff, they took back to the house for their first drive of the half. They scored a touchdown, but they didn't get no more points after that.
So the defense didn't give up any more points. But, yeah, I know it was 27-14, but all I know, I remember Coach Wright telling me the story that he was walking into the locker room after coming out of the locker room after halftime, and our superintendent at the time, Dr. Peggy Hinkley, approached him and said, hey, you guys had a great season. And you remember, we graduated 50-some seniors from that 03 team. And, hey, you know, you guys had a great season. Nobody thought you guys would get as far as you did. And you know, lo and behold, and I'm gonna bring this kid's name up because he's, and I'm gonna make sure I contact him tonight because he's supposed to be coming back next week, and that is one Josh Bailey, and as we know, and Dexter Taylor connected two times, two touchdown passes in the fourth quarter, and some lockdown defense, and all of a sudden we upset the Dubs Giants. Andre Hatchett.
And my guy, Jay Stewart.
With the game-winning interception. You know, that was back in the No Fear days, right? And yes, we knocked off Ben Davis 28-27, and we would go and win that second in a row, that state championship, by beating Fort Wayne Snyder 2 weeks later. But that's what last night reminded me of, kid.
You know what? You're right. You're right, because the play, how they won the game on, just the guy got this wide open, and like, how did he get wide open? But then I think about it, and like, Josh Bailey's running right down the middle of the field, wide open. Dexter hits him in stride perfectly, and he backs into the end zone, scoring the touchdown. And it's like, unlike being in overtime like them last night, defense still had to come out and get one more stop. And Jay Stu gets the interception. He's going crazy. The fans going nuts. He throws his helmet up in the air. Oh, man, that's good times. And, you know, that game right there, there are certain games and certain moments that really, you know, affect the program. And I think that game right there, the 2002 regional game, really both games against Ben Davis in 2002, those three games right there, I consider some of the most important games in our program's history. For the 2004 regional state championship, if we don't win that game, there's no four-peat.
Absolutely, kid. And you got to remember, I arrived at Warren in 2002 as a freshman coach. And, you know, the team that, you know, the team I had, you know, that's when Dexter Taylor, that's when Jason Onyebuaga, Brian Beeler, Greg Mitchell, Keith Jones, Andre Hatchett, Anthony Vaden, Joey Hodges. Again, those are some Warrior legends right there. But, you know, myself and my good friend, the late coach, Eric Paschal, you know, and Coach Raffer, I mean, we coach those kids. So, you know, my first experience of a Warren Central Ben Davis game, because that's all I heard about, is how, you know, the last 2 years, we were right there on the doorstep, but we couldn't beat Ben Davis. So we're playing Ben Davis there in September, because we used to play them week three. Yes. And
I missed that.
Standing room only. This is your freshman year, standing room only. And we end up in a late game, interception in overtime by Kyle Wimberly, one of my favorite Warren kids. We knock off Ben Davis. And, you know, as you alluded to, they end up getting us, you know, a few weeks later in that regional. But then when we get to 2003, which, you know, we talk a little bit about these teams, right? So, I as a varsity coach kid, I never lost to Ben Davis as a varsity coach. That's coaching freshman games, that's coaching junior varsity games, and that's coaching 5 years on 4 years on varsity. Never lost to Ben Davis, which before 2002, we hadn't beat him in 13 years. But that 2003 team with Desmond Tardy and Aaron Lacy and Mark Bonds and Steve Willis and the Graham twins and Andrew Campbell, Courtney Nunn, Kyle Wimberly, Sam Miles, Paul Funches. My big man, Jimmy Mays, Chris White, come on, Benny Baines. I mean, Craig, I could go Henderson. On for days. Big game time, Craig Henderson, Torrey Brown. I mean, I could go on for days. I tell you what, man, like that group right
the
there.
The heart
that
and was soul like, of the team, and Tyrone Dixon too. I can't leave my man.
Yeah. You can't leave TD or Brian Ing out. Okay. But I'm just telling you, like that, though, that group right there was really the first group I had. Just in terms of being a varsity coach and coaching, they're like little brothers to me. Because at the time, man, I'm only 24 years old. I'm still young, right? And I didn't realize how young I was until here recently. I see some of these kids' birthdays pop up on Facebook, and they're 36, 37 years old. I'm like, what is really going on? But
or worse than that, they have kids at the high school now.
Aaron Lacy has a kid at the high school. But I'm going to tell you this about that 03 team, and we can go through all of them, kid. That 03 team that, and you talk about, you kind of preface this conversation with those pivotal moments. that pivotal moment was in that 0-3 regional game against Ben Davis, because that was Coach Delahan, Dick Delahan, Hall of Fame coach from Ben Davis, who won 8 state championships, I want to say, there, or just overall. That was the step we could not get past. And I just remember, I will never forget as long as I live, you know, the talk that Coach Wright gave. We put in a copy, like this lost footage, I haven't seen this tape since, of the aftermath of the 2002 game. I don't know if you ever knew this, kid, but they kept the cameras rolling after we lost in that mud against Ben Davis in 02 at Warren. And you could see our kids bawling, crying. They showed the last couple of plays. And I remember those kids took that field in that regional game with so much emotion, just crying. Like, I'd never seen anything like that in my life, playing or coaching to this day. And they went out there and they played the game of their lives, and it did come down to the end, and they would not fold. So when we talk about can't fold, won't fold, that 03 team may not go down as the best Warren team of all time, but in my opinion, nobody was tougher than them. You did not want to see them in a street fight. I'm calling that 03 team, because they're going to have, because you did not want to see those dudes in between their lines. They were tough guys. They were hardcore. They were great football players. And, you know, again, we almost did get there, but that last 6 weeks of the season in the playoffs, very few runs have I seen like that. They were so dominant, and I'm so proud to be a part of that 0-3 team that opened the floodgates up for us to start winning championships again.
Was really to piggyback off what you said there, I mean, that 0-3 team had an offensive line that was bigger than many NFL and for sure college teams' offensive lines, and here we are, we're a team that rarely ever throws a ball. We were smash mouth. We were going to get, if we don't have 300, 400 yards by halftime, something's wrong. And that's rushing. Right.
Yeah. And you guys, and here's the thing too, kid. Here's the thing too, kid. The 0-2 offensive line was actually better, because you had Andrew Campbell, who was a Division I offensive lineman, our second Mr. Football offensive line winner. But we have Mike Clevenger. We have Mike Clevenger in those two. And Mike Clevenger was a bad man. He was a bad man. And especially running that wing T offense back in the day. And we had Drew Papp. And I mean, that line was low. Tyree Pollard, who played Division I at Toledo. He was a tight end on that line. So when you look at what we had to fill some gaps for 03. But if you recall, Jason Onyebuaga, he started as a sophomore center. We had one of the Foley twins was in the mix. We had Big Jonah Winston, who was there in the mix. And you just had a stud in Andrew Campbell to go along with that group. So, yeah, man, but the skill level, and I'm just telling you, man, the toughness, like, and again, Kyle Wimberly, this is the guys I coach, Kyle Wimberly, Sam Miles, Courtney Nunn, who pound for pound is in my top three best football players I ever coached, amazing athlete and amazing football player. Chris Graham, who ended up going to Purdue, or Christian Graham, who ended up going to Purdue as a receiver at the time. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, we would show up anywhere. That's where No Fear came from. You take your top five, and I got my boys, and we will lock you down all day. And that was at every single position.
Yes. One thing, and another thing to add about that, because pivotal moments, you know, they change a franchise, a program around. And oftentimes I think and wonder, I truly do, if we were to win that 2002 regional game, we're most likely going to win state. That's granted. But how does the rest of the years that would be the four-peat, how do they look? Because Chris Graham and his brother Christian came that next year. We have guys that are hungry. We take Stephen Willis from offense, put him on defense. You know, we changed things around to make us successful. But in 2000, if we were to win there in 2003, would we know coming to that year, you know, will we have that same hunger to repeat, to defend something? Or could it possibly have been, you know, instead of not winning in 2002, we don't win in 2003, but we go on to win in 04 and 05 and 06, you know, we still get possibly great teams, some of the greatest athletes come through. But like, I think a lot of times, I think we lost that game, but it it made us stronger and really showed, like, guys, there are some guys that really worked hard where you are right now that didn't get it done. For whatever reason, they didn't get it done. Are you going to learn from their mistakes so you don't have to go through this and deal with the same things that they, that those guys did?
Let me tell you, let me answer that question for you. If we would have won in 2002, then we would have won five in a row. And let me tell you why. When you win a championship, it changes the whole mindset. It changes the DNA composition. It changes your approach. And I'm going to be honest with you. And I don't, you know, you can ask Coach Byrd, you can ask Coach Tutsi, the guys that were around in 02 and 03, those first ones. And then later on, Coach E came along. I think the difference between 02 and let's just say 06, the last one of the four-peat, as adults, we got better. We were able to better prepare our kids for those moments. We were better strategy-wise. We were better in preparation. We became more thorough. We had failed in some cases, and we learned from that. That was the difference. Because here's the thing, and if you look at even that 2003 team, we lost our last game of the year. You know, we go from being a top five team in the country to start the year off, and the
odds, I think we were top five ranked coming into the playoffs.
We were top five because we beat a team, Cincinnati Elder, and beat them pretty good. And we jumped into the top five in the country, right? And then, you know, we had the just tragic, untimely death of Coach Wright's mom, which was very, very difficult on all of us, trying to help him get through that. Then we end up losing the game. We shouldn't have lost to Carmel. And then we lost that senior night against LN. So we're going into the playoffs, kid. We are 7-2. We open up with LC, who is 8-1. We play a rematch with LN second round, who just beat us and believes they can beat us. And then I think we had North Central at the end. But my point is this, is that what we were able to do during those 4P years, and we just came up just a little short in overtime in 02. When it was time to lock in, and that was a challenge with the 03 team, is that they were so good, so talented. That was like the first group of kids that were just where we had Division I kids everywhere, right? Like next level kids everywhere. They wanted it. They wanted it. They wanted to win a championship, but during that regular season, they had a tendency to get a little selfish. They were selfish. But when we lost that last game against LN, and I remember it just like it was yesterday, we had their full attention, kid. We had their full attention, and we met in that. That was the first year that we moved into the locker room that we currently have. And basically, we said, look, the one goal that is still out there, we can't be national champions, we can't be undefeated, but that state championship is still there for the taking. But in order to do it, we got to come together. We got to be family. We got to have each other's back. Because right now, everybody's counting you out. And when I say that group of kids came together and put together 6 weeks of phenomenal football, kid, man, I get chills just thinking about it. Because when you fast forward to that state championship game versus Penn, and you got to understand that was personal for me because I'm from South Bend, and I watched Penn win 89 straight games from like 1985 to 1996. Just something crazy, just terrorizing South Bend schools, right?
I told you guys it was going to be good. Now, hey, as it's part one, part two is coming tomorrow. part 2 is coming tomorrow. Come back and see me.